Let us turn our Bibles once again to Psalm 131. There are only three verses in the psalm. And in the middle of the psalm, that's in verse 2, you read the psalmist David as saying, "My soul is even as a weaned child." He referred to his soul as a child that is weaned. A child that is satisfied in the nurture of its mother. His soul is not desperate, troubled, but like a calm child in the arms of a loving mother. We see David here like a child. Dear friends, childlikeness is not childishness. Childlikeness, I would say, is the halo of the saint. It is to possess the mind of Jesus Christ, who behaved like an obedient child before the Father while he was on earth. Wasn't our Lord Jesus like an obedient child before his Father? He was worthy of his name, the Son of God. Jesus was declared by the Father as my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He is God's eternal Son. If any child of God needs to know how to behave before God, let him look at the Savior, the Son of God Himself. He was like a weaned child, happy to be called the child of the great God, the Son of God. Dearly beloved, it is not the childlike spirit to try to excuse ourselves for maintaining a false position or living a sinful life that we refer to as childlikeness. The childlike spirit is to do what our Heavenly Father tells us. Because He tells us, let's do it like a child and leave the consequences to Him. That's what David was. So childlikeness is to have a subdued and quiet spirit before God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verses 3 and 4, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever there shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." This is a very high calling that the Lord has given to the Christians, to be like a weaned child. It is very hard to get our minds to be like that of young children. Nonetheless, let us remember this is the characteristic of every truly born again believer, a truly born-again person. It is a sign and seal of the heirs of God's kingdom. It brings great assurance and hope concerning one's spiritual condition and prospect. It guarantees peace and serenity, not only within our soul, even in our house. Equanimity or level-headedness in our business. Wisdom in our learning. It guarantees and secures God's favor toward us. So to be childlike, to be like a weaned child, is a wonderful thing. I believe it is what made David receive that great testimony or great commendation from God, that he is a man after God's own heart. If your heart is not like that of a child, you can never have this commendation that you are a man after God's own heart. You have to have that subdued spirit that will yield in faith and obedience to God to be called a man after God's own heart. Why would have David prayed to God about himself in this manner? Well, this was David's presentation of himself as a man who has humbled himself before God. He was not standing before God in self-righteousness. He did everything to remove pride from his heart. Well, we are aware of the fact that David was accused, of course, falsely, by his brothers as a haughty boy, young boy. Because when the father asked him to go and find out the well-being of his brothers who were in Saul's army that was pitted against the giant Goliath of Philistines, the brothers said he came to look around and he is of a haughty spirit. They rebuked him. In fact, King Saul thought of this young boy as a haughty boy because the women of Israel sang praises to him. They gave greater honor to David than King Saul. So Saul and his friends were actually speaking evil of David. They wanted to kill him. But we know David humbled himself. Even though he knew he was the anointed one to the throne. Even though Samuel poured the oil over his head, he never stretched his hand to grab the throne. Until God made it accessible to him. He never stretched his hand to kill King Saul. He aimed at nothing high nor great. He was very easy and comfortable in his condition, which God allotted to him. And he encourages all the people to trust God just like he did. And that's what the psalm is all about. So what does it take to us to have a weaned soul in our life? How will we move forward to have a heart like that of David? To be a man after God's own heart. To be a woman after God's own heart. Let's learn from the psalm. In the first part of verse 1, David says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. To be a weaned soul, you must have a heart that is not haughty. You must not be prideful. Unfortunately, we are all proud by nature. Whether you are rich or poor. Hence the saying in English, the Lord Mayor is not a bit prouder in his gold chain than the beggar in his rags. You will see proud men not only among the rich, but even among the beggars. pride grows like weeds. It doesn't need much watering. It's in our hearts. When a man indulges in his pride, he is like a rider on a wild horse that runs away with him, only to be thrown out into a great lot of trouble. Prideful men behaves in mean and contemptible ways, in domineering ways toward others. If we see any errors and mistakes in others, are we not quick to conclude that they are very foolish? And if it were any of us, we would have done it much better. So we sometimes say, if it is me, I would not have done that. I can't understand these people. That's often our response. But we should be saying, Lord, I am a man of like passions as they are. It is by your grace that I am what I am. And thank you that you have subdued my spirit. Pride leads us to live a very critical and a life of condemnation of others. But let me tell you, dear friends, pride is abominable to God. That's why David said, O Lord, I make sure that my heart is not haughty. I learn how important it is not to be proud. We all know the famous verse in Proverbs 18:12, before destruction the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. In Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 50, the Lord said, they were haughty and committed abomination before me. That's what God said through Ezekiel concerning the rebellious life of Israelites. Pride is an abomination and God will bring it down. Scripture repeatedly says so. Let me just read a portion to you from Jeremiah. Listen to this. Jeremiah 13, verses 15 onwards. Hear ye and give ear, be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he caused darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while ye look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. But if ye will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride. And then he goes on to say in verse 18 of Jeremiah 13, say unto the king and to the queen, humble yourselves, sit down, for your principalities shall come down, even the crown of your glory. What great admonition against those who lifted up their hearts. Their pride has caused them to be hard-hearted, stubborn, and rebellious. They pitted themselves against the prophets of God. Both kings and peasants of Israel. No wonder David knew the importance of being humble even after he became a king. He was a humble shepherd boy, but he was also a humble king of Israel. So he said that everyone who would ascend to the hill of Zion to worship, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. If you have come to worship God, can you say the same before God? Check your hearts. Is there pride? Is there arrogance? Is there contempt of others? Is there self-exaltation? We cannot have these things. And I sometimes say, this is most seen on the pulpit. What? Pride. Every preacher has to guard his heart against this great sin. The king on the throne must tell himself, be humble. There is a great and mighty sovereign God, the King of heavens, above me. If we were to be preachers of the truth, we must first of all acknowledge the truth doesn't proceed out of our heart but from God. We are nothing but just spokesmen for God. We possess it only because God gave it to us. We preach it only because God has put it on our tongue. We stand as witnesses of God and His truth only because He called, equipped, and commissioned us. Oh, let every Christian humble himself. You must remember, my dear friends, pride is not something you can cover up for long. Pride will express itself. And that's why David said, mine eyes lofty. A haughty heart is not a hidden secret. It will be seen in the way you appear. Even the way your eyebrows and eyes move. In Proverbs chapter 30, verse 13, we read, there is a generation, oh how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. We can see that in our younger generation in these days. More than ever before. Look at the way they walk around. Look at the way they appear. Look at the way they take their stand before others. Even when the teachers try to talk to them. I already can see some like that when I preach. With eyes up, with the eyebrows up. Big deal. He thinks what? He's a great preacher. He doesn't have to tell me. I hope he will quickly stop. It's nonsense. Lofty eyes. The Lord says, listen to this, Psalm 101, verse 5. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. God will not permit one who is walking about with a high look and a proud heart. I want to tell you all, if you like to appear as somebody richer, more honorable by the way you dress and walk and behave and talk, God hates it. You like it, but God hates it. People like it, but God hates it. Sometimes I feel so distressed in my heart when I see the way people behave. Christians, I mean. Forget about those who have no heart for the Lord. The arrogance of the Christians sometimes. Oh, how despicable it is. In Proverbs 6:17, we have a list of seven things that the Lord hates. You know what's the first of it? A proud look. And if I were to give you all the scripture verses against God, that the Lord has spoken against pride, it will be a long list. So let me go further to say this. Pride is a disease of the heart, a terrible spiritual malady. When pride is in your heart, You cannot please God. When pride is in your heart, you cannot serve God. When pride is in your heart, you will not be blessed by God. That's the summary of all that we read thus far. Think about this. A sinner and yet proud. Isn't it monstrous? What is there for us to be proud before a great and holy God? It is monstrous. It's demonic for sinners to appear proud before God. We are all just sinners saved by grace. Our righteousness is not ours. It is His righteousness that He imputed on us. Oh, let our hearts be humble. So David offers a sound heart to the Lord. Not an unsound one, but a very sound heart to the Lord by pleading before God, saying, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty. There is no reason for me to be proud or appear arrogant. I rather humble myself to do your will, O God. Now let me tell you, David was in the habit of examining himself to rid of his heart of pride. We are familiar with verses like Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, where David prayed, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. He never left it to himself to decide whether it's prideful or not. He asked God to search. God is the one who should examine me. He is the real judge. Let him tell me if there is any arrogance. If he would use any means by his providence to reveal that I am proud, I will humble. He did just that when Nathan rebuked him of his sin. He did not rebuke or punish or kill Nathan when Nathan said, You are the man who sinned against God. He humbled himself. But how about you? If your mistakes, if your sins are brought to your attention, how would you respond? By justifying your action? By giving excuses? Or by accusing those who pointed out those mistakes to you? I know of so many who despise their pastors and preachers because from the pulpit, pastors have rebuked sin. Even though names are not mentioned, in general, since I'm rebuked, they will say, the whole message was against me. I don't want to go back to that church. Yes, the whole message was against you because your heart is sinning. Better repent. What is there to be so proud about when you have sinned? It is a monstrous thing for sinners like us to be prideful. It takes us nowhere. You want to possess a weaned soul? Then be humble. What is there to boast? Are we dressed in the robe of Christ's righteousness? Well, let's admit, we did not even put a thread into it. It is God's gift. Are our garments white? Because He washed it in the blood of the Lamb. Are we new creatures? Because His transforming power through the gospel changed us. Are we healthy and wealthy? Because He blessed us in His mercy. What is there to be proud? One of the evils of Christian community in general is that they appear to be humble before God when things are really at the beginning, when they are poor, when they are desperate. After some time, having received all the goodness of God, they tend to take all the credit for themselves. David didn't want to be like that. He was a shepherd boy in the pastures of Bethlehem. But the Lord called him from there and brought him to Jerusalem to be the mightiest king of Israel. But in his glory days, he cannot and he should not forget God. It is God who raised me. It is God who blessed me. It is God who would build my household. And I must give thanks to God. Let all Israel therefore say, I'm not haughty, O God. My eyes are not lofty. Let True Life say the same thing. Let every Christian say the same thing as David. Now, a second characteristic that we see of a weaned soul is in the second half of verse 1. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters. In other words, it's a heart that is not ambitious. David was not an ambitious man. Well, I'm not saying he never had ambitions, but he's not ambitious. That is to say, he was not aggressively following what his heart desired. David was always aware of his status and position as it was appointed to him by God. He never sought to go beyond what God has designed for him. He did once, he was rebuked, and he repented. Though he had great victory over Philistine giant Goliath, though the women of Jerusalem ascribed him greater honor than King Saul, he never allowed his heart to seek the throne. When he went into the cave of Adullam, he had an opportunity to kill King Saul, who came into the same cave. But he never lifted a hand to become a king. He might have smitten this enemy of his many times. With one stroke, he could have ended the warfare that Saul has waged against him. But he refused to do so. He waited for God's timing. He was willing to go where God would put him. Whether he will be in the cave or wilderness or in the city or up in the mountain, wherever God's providence would let him run, he would run. He was not desperate to sit on the throne. He would rather walk with God in all the struggles of life. Is your heart ambitious for the things of this world more than the will of God? What is your ambition, my dear friends? What are the things that your heart desire for? David says, neither do I exercise myself in great matters. You see, to be a person of childlike faith that pleases God, we should not contemplate high notions of what we ought to be. We should not entertain large desires for ourselves. Oh, I must be like that. Today, a lot of preachers teach you to dream. Dream big. Dream. Dream, they say. Dream all that you want to be. Be dreamers. But you only can become dreamers and nothing more than that. But the scripture teaches us, desire to do the will of God. Didn't David sing that in Psalm 27? One thing have I desired. What is that? To behold the beauty of the Lord. Why the desperation for things that God has not assigned to us? If there is anything that God assigned to us, it will come our way. Don't stretch your hands before the time. Just make sure you remain where God wants you to be and be humble to do what God has asked you to do. If we are great men in our own esteem, we will think that we have great things in ourselves. We will not humble to ask from the Lord those things. I can do it. I'm able to do it. I'm brilliant enough to manage this. And you are so proud of yourself, and you always think that you are capable. We see this malaise even within the church. Men who become Christians hear the pastors preaching, read a couple of books that they recently bought from the Christian book room, then they think they can be the next elder in line. There are young men who go to Bible college after the first year of study, they want to be the next pastor. There are men who haven't even got the family in order, want to be the ruler of the church. Because they say they have great ideas. The pastor doesn't know how to operate PowerPoint, but he can preach with PowerPoint. Even when the pastor uses the PowerPoint, it's not so nice, but he got better technique, so he can be the better one. So get him into the session quickly. If not, you'll be very unhappy. Or you get a job. After working for 1 year, you think you should be the boss. And then you behave with such stupidity and foolishness until you get sacked. Pride is such a horrible behavior, horrible thing that make a monster out of us. If you want to be a winning soul before the Lord, to be a heart that is blessed by God, to be where God wants you to be, then don't exercise yourself in great matters. Today the world teaches you to think big. But the Bible says, having food and raiment, therewith content. People who want more than what God would provide. People would exercise themselves in worldliness or materialism because they do not want to be contented with what God gives, will find themselves being trapped by the devil, pierce themselves with many sorrows. But God adds the store of His blessings and comfort and peace to those who shall say like David, I exercise not myself in great matters. My brethren, let us not have two masters. Who is your master, God or Mammon? If it's Mammon, then of course you will be attracted into all things that are not to be yours, which will destroy you. Stay under God and His great hand that leads you. And whatever be the portion that the providence of God will bring to you, take it, receive it with thankfulness, and say, Lord, in this I shall know Thee as mine. Thou art my inheritance. It is not the things that my carnal heart that wants that make me satisfied, but Your presence, O Lord. Blessed is that servant who is quite content with that position which his master has appointed to him. Even if it means to unloose the latch of his Lord's shoes. Like John the Baptizer who said, I must decrease, he must increase. Our ambition in life is not that we must increase, but that he must increase. Whether it will be in a hut or in a palace, whether it is in the pew or at the pulpit, the Lord must be glorified. Not me. It's not about my greatness, but it is about the Lord's. You know why some cannot be settled in life? Why is it some always so desperate and so miserable? And they go from place to place, one job to another job, one marriage to another marriage, one church to another church. They seek great things when they have not even learned to subdue their spirit to do God's will concerning them. When they are married to this lady, they will say, oh, this lady is not good enough. I think God made a mistake to give this lady. But that one in my company, she smiles more than this one. I better marry her. And think there is great glory with that woman. And then moves quickly. When you're in this church, oh, there are a lot of problems. Though it's a Bible-believing good church, but I think Pastor Koshi's church is better. And then jump there. And then from there, another place. Never ending. Nonsense. What are you thinking about yourself? You think by moving from place to place, you can achieve everything? No! By submitting your heart to God. David did not complain when God's providence led him to the cave of Adullam or to the wilderness. When he was chased around like a dog, he did not lift his tongue to complain or murmur against God. He would pour out the burdens before God like a soul that is to be weaned. And by the time he prays, he finds God's presence and comfort. And he behaved like a weaned soul. Look again into verse 1. You will see yet another characteristic that made David like a weaned soul. A heart that is not intrusive. He says, nor in things too high for me. Maybe you have seen men who have been vexed and troubled because they would not exercise themselves in matters that God has given to them, but go after things that are too high for them. I've seen this even within the church. There are men of high learning. I'm not against them. Praise God for them. But listen to what I'm saying. There are men of high learning in medicine or economics or other academic discipline who wants to teach theology because they are quite intelligent. But they have never yielded themselves to serious study of God's word. They have never attempted to understand the doctrines and theology. But by virtue of their academic excellence, they seek to be teachers in the church. I wonder what they are trying to. They are intruding into areas they shouldn't. Would you like me to perform a surgery on you? I see a smile on many faces. I'm not a medical doctor. Don't you ever ask me to do that. You may die under my knife. So don't come to me for surgery. How can a man who has not disciplined himself to study God's word try to be a teacher? James warns us against it. It will bring you to greater condemnation. There are people who have never learned Greek and Hebrew trying to show off a few Greek words that they saw somewhere in concordance or commentary. They end up making grave mistakes. As I mentioned a while ago, there are people who think they are capable of performing duties such as that belongs to deacons and elders when they have never got their act together as a spiritual person. These men behave like a child in a mother's lap saying, "Mom, give me the entire world. I want to be the ruler." When the baby hasn't even learned to drink from the bottle, how about the child trying to tell, "Mom, let me swim across the Atlantic Ocean"? That's ridiculous. That's how sometimes we behave, especially because we listen to what the world teaches us. Think big. Think big. They think until they are bigger than God. That's what the devil did, the Lucifer. You read that in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. He wanted to climb above God's throne. He wants to make his throne among the stars of God. He was pushed down forever. Don't be a pretender in the matters of religion. When it comes to spirituality, no pretension. Don't intrude into things into which you are not invited. Even becoming a Christian is by invitation only. You understand? You cannot make yourself a Christian. Only when God calls you through the gospel. And so, having heard the gospel call and came in because God welcomed us, let's don't try to be intruders anymore. Yes, be like David, who said, "Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me." A fourth truth that we learn about a vain soul is found in verse 2. "Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned soul," or weaned child. And here we see the fourth characteristic: a heart quietly at rest in the Lord. It should be a heart that is not haughty, a heart that is not ambitious, a heart that is not intrusive, and it must be a heart quietly at rest in the Lord. Well, it simply means that David has learned to conquer his selfish passions. He has conquered his selfish passions, his longings, his pipings, all sorts of desperations he felt within. He subdued them all. "I have behaved and quieted myself. I know it is not what I want to achieve. It's not what I want to become. It's what God wants me to be. I must stay in His hands." He is a weaned child. We know the weaning child has his desires very strong in his heart. He frets. He's not contented. But the weaned child is a satisfied child. And that's how David behaved. He found his satisfaction in the Lord. You know, dear friends, let me tell you a truth. If you are going to fill your hearts with all kinds of ambitions and desires that your carnal nature would teach you, you will never be a satisfied person. You can never be satisfied. When you get your first million, you want to have another 10 million. And when you become a multimillionaire, you want to be a billionaire. That's how it goes. There is no end to it. But we must quietly rest in the knowledge that the Lord is our inheritance. He is our portion. A life with Him is enough. Even a death in Him is fantastic. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain, because I'm getting into the presence of Christ for whom I lived. A quiet rest in the Lord. The child of God is always contented with the fact that God's grace is channeled to him. And he can say, like what Jesus said, or the Lord said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient." And he will take comfort in it. So David submitted himself completely to God's will. It is such a blessed state, my dear friend, to be quietly at rest in the Lord. You know, young people are nowadays quite disquieted within themselves when see their friends having the latest iPhone or iPod, isn't it? And they will try every ways and means to get it. Never satisfied. They have a very good phone that works well, but it's not good enough because my friends have. You see, I show you what mine can do. You do like that, it will open up. You don't even have to key in anything. It's all like, wow, so nice. Ma, can I have one? Ma, can I have one? Never satisfied. Then after that, they come up with something bigger. Or a bigger screen. Oh, that is better. It looks sleek. It looks so gorgeous. Ah! Never enough. And the pastor says from the pulpit, we have some ministries that is in need of funds. Pastor, next year, okay, I want to get these things first. We don't know how to flourish in the things of God because we are never, never satisfied in Him. We are after this material world which never satisfies us, make us desperate, really so dejected and depressed. I tell you one of the reasons why people become depressed, because they are never at rest in the Lord. They are desperate after the things of the world. They're never contented with the portion that the Lord allotted to them. They don't believe that God is sufficient. He is enough. He is everything to me. Even though I don't have all that others have. Even if I have a miserable home. Even though my spouse is not happy with me or he does this and that. I shall rest in my Lord. He is my Savior. He is my Shepherd. He is all in all. Then you'll be peaceful. But you don't know that. You don't want to behave that way. That's why you are never a weaned soul. You're worse than a weaning child. Desperation, desperation. Kicking here, kicking there, crying, weeping, screaming. You know how sometimes naughty children who are not weaned would behave? Rest in the Lord. Tell your souls, O my soul, why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Come down. We must teach ourselves. So David said, I have behaved and quieted myself. It also tells you that he not only conquered its selfish passions, but also that he has learned to depend upon his Lord. Like a child who is weaned, depends upon its mother entirely, the soul depends on the Lord entirely. Are there signs that you are trusting God? Or are there signs that you have given up trusting God? Check yourself. You better do it quickly. Because if there are signs that shows that you are not trusting God entirely, I'm not talking about partial trust. That is no trust. Partial obedience is disobedience, not full obedience. It has to be a full trust in God. You must be able to say like David, O my Lord, my soul lies in thy bosom like a child that has done crying and fretting and is weaned altogether. Have you seen little babies lying down in the mother's lap after having a stomach full of milk? If you have seen that child before the mother fed, you will see how desperate the child was. It cries, it screams. Oh, it is the worst thing to look at. But after it drinks the milk and lies in the mother's womb, you call it angelic. Right? But it starts crying, you say, oh Lord, why do you give me a demonic one like this? I wish I had no children. You know, some of you don't trust God are just like those children before weaning. Every pastor's nightmare. But every weaned soul in the church is a pastor's delight. Let me tell you that. Finally, the fifth characteristic in verse 3. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. A heart full of hope in the Lord. A heart full of hope in the Lord. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth forever. It's a hope in God, not in things that we possess or don't possess, or in things that we hope to achieve. You know, sometimes all these ambitions that are not of the Lord are a hopeless hope. There is no hope in it. But if you just trust in God and believe that He will give me the best, He will order my steps, He will never abandon me, then the hope that you have in God will never perish. It shall be established. So David says, out of his experience to all the worshippers of Israel, let Israel hope in the Lord, not in me, your king. I might have subdued Israel's enemies, but it is because God helped me. So let your heart depend upon the Lord. Hope in Him. You might say to me after the sermon, Pastor, that was a good message. I needed it. But no use, my friend. You go hoping in the Lord, not in your pastor's preaching, but in the Lord who spoke to you today. If you go out into the cities, into your house, into your offices, without trusting in God, without committing yourself to hope in Him, you will again be a dejected soul in a matter of time. You can hear many good sermons. You can have a good preacher, a faithful preacher, and at your hearts will not settle until you hope in the Lord. Then you shall be a weaned soul. And it must be from henceforth forever. Now, henceforth, and forever. It's a present hope. Are you in trouble? Don't say you have no hope. You must say, I hope in the Lord now, henceforth, and all the days of my life, till I see Him face to face. So let all those who came to worship Him today say, I hope in the Lord, now and forever.